When a Woolastochiac man wasn't allowed on a stagecoach, he vowed to race the horse-drawn carriage on foot all the way from Fredericton to Woodstock, two New Brunswick towns that were roughly 100 kilometers away from one another, and make it there first.
You're listening to Backyard History, the hidden stories that happened in your own backyard, the podcast version of the weekly history column running in newspapers across the Maritimes, with your host and author, Andrew McLean.
On a summer morning in 1865, so 2 years before Confederation, Peter Lawler showed up for a regularly scheduled departure of a horse-drawn stagecoach, which was going from New Brunswick's capital of Fredericton, bound for Woodstock, which is the province's first town. The stagecoach's driver, John Turner, hesitated in accepting the money of Peter Lawler, who was Woolastochiac, telling him that
the stagecoach was pretty full and the day promised to be very warm.
It was something of an empty excuse, as there was actually space inside the stagecoach for Peter, who did indeed have the money to pay for his ride. The driver's hesitance seems to revolve around what the other passengers might think of a Woolastochiac man coming on the stagecoach, considering that at this point the driver decided he would actually leave it up to these other passengers whether or not Peter Lawler would be allowed on board as a passenger. Historian W.O. Raymond wrote about this in his book, The History of the St. John River, and he said that after talking to people aboard the coach, Turner
told him in plain Saxon that the other passengers didn't like the smell of him and that his room was better than his company.
Peter Lawler simply said, "All right, John," and then he solemnly vowed to the driver that he would make it to Woodstock first, despite it being nearly 100 kilometers away. At 8 a.m. that morning, the stagecoach and the man on foot both departed Fredericton at the same time.
In spite,
Raymond wrote,
of Turner's endeavor to throw dust in the Woolastochiac man's face.
So when you're trying to picture a stagecoach, maybe the best thing to think about is possibly one of those horse-drawn carriages in the old Western movies, except a little fancier, because the ones that we're talking about had proper interiors, not a canvas cover like in those old movies. But don't think of it as too fancy, though, because basically stagecoaches were the buses of the time. And much like taking a bus today, the stagecoach was, for Maritimers back then, not exactly the preferred method of transportation back then, or for that matter, it wasn't even their second choice either. The exciting new high-tech steamboats and trains were by far passengers' top choices back then because they offered greater speed and comfort. Part of the reasons that stagecoaches were so slow is they had the job of delivering mail, meaning that they often made a huge number of stops along the way. That being said, though, if you were taking a stagecoach back in 1865, you would, weirdly enough, almost certainly have had an easier time getting between cities in the Maritimes than you would in a bus today. As John Turner's stagecoach departed Fredericton that morning with Peter Lawler jogging beside it, there would have been other regular daily stagecoaches leaving for everywhere from St. John to Bathurst. There's actually multiple ones of these daily departures from Fredericton to St. John that day, and there were also ones leaving on longer haul trips, going on direct trips to Halifax and even international destinations like Bangor and Portland in Maine. John Turner's stagecoach, though, was headed out of Fredericton down the Great Road to Woodstock. That, I should emphasize, is the road's actual name. Its name is the Great Road to Woodstock. It is not, by any definition, an actual good quality road, especially not a great one. In fact, it was this distinctly less than great quality of this great road that made the stagecoach much less popular than the steamship or the train. In his book, New Brunswick's Early Roads, author Ronald Reese quoted Alexander Goodfellow, who was one distinctly fed up road supervisor of the day, who went so far as to call the Great Road
an entire waste of people's time.
One of the many problems with the Great Roads, which Goodfellow highlighted, was that they often weren't
crowned, which is where it slopes slightly so water can flow into the ditches, meaning that rains could render them so muddy and rutted that...
They were, in his words,
utterly useless.
I was trying to figure out how fast the stagecoach went, and I found an old article in the St. Croix Courier newspaper which complained that...
The stage averaged about 5.5 to 6 miles per hour on these long and arduous routes.
As their coach made it down the Great Road that day, John Turner and his passengers that morning noted that Peter Lawler was consistently keeping up. That day, Turner's stagecoach needed to make its regularly scheduled stops at post houses, which were spaced roughly every 40 miles apart. There, the coach would drop off mail and it would let the passengers rest. That rather salty writer in the St. Croix Courier article, he was actually a reverend, he went on to complain that
stops were frequent, more out of deference to the horses than to the passengers.
At each post house, the stagecoach would swap out its exhausted horses for fresh ones, which puts into perspective just how exhausted Peter Lawler must have been getting as he raced the stagecoach to Woodstock. Between some of these stops, the driver, John Turner, lost sight of Lawler, and he figured that he must have left him behind in the dust. But then, at lunchtime, Turner stopped his stagecoach at a tavern that was located halfway between Fredericton and Woodstock, which was somewhat unimaginatively named The Halfway House. That was a scheduled stop to let his passengers get out and buy food. When they walked into the Halfway House, the driver and the passengers were startled to find a familiar face was already sitting inside the tavern, eating lunch. Peter Lawler had beaten them to the halfway point. As the hot sun beat down that afternoon, the race continued, roughly as it did before, up until they reached a few miles from Woodstock. The stagecoach would pull ahead, leaving Peter Lawler in the dust, but then when it would make its regular mail delivery stops, Peter Lawler would reappear and then pass the stagecoach again. You see, there wasn't really all of that much of a sense of urgency amid the driver and the passengers for most of the trip, because for reasons that aren't super clear, because Peter Lawler definitely told them he was going to race them to the town of Woodstock, the passengers and the driver actually assumed that he was, in fact, not going to the town of Woodstock. I guess I simply assume because he was Woolstequay, Peter Lawler was actually stopping 3 miles short of the town of Woodstock at the Woolstequay village called Woodstock First Nation. But when the stagecoach, Peter Lawler, reached the Woolstequay village, instead of stopping, Lawler abruptly bursts into a full run, passing the stagecoach and heading for Woodstock.
He ran like a deer,
Raymond wrote,
waving his cap at intervals as he passed farmhouses and shouting defiantly.
Turner was shocked and
had no intention to let a Woolstequick man beat him out, began to ply the whip.
As they exited the village towards Woodstock, Lawler
saluted it with a war whoop and hurried on.
The passengers inside the stagecoach
began to wager money on the result of the race and grew wild with excitement
as the curious race between one lone man on foot and a carriage being pulled by four horses neared Woodstock. W.O. Raymond wrote that even 40 years later, the people of Woodstock still talked about
remarkable exhibition of speed and endurance
that they had witnessed that day. It had been a lazy summer afternoon in the town of Woodstock, where not that much was happening. And this was, at the time, not just a small village, this was one of the largest population centers in New Brunswick. All of this calm and quiet on the summer day was disrupted by a commotion in the far distance, which grew closer and closer. Suddenly, much to the townspeople's astonishment,
the stagecoach came tearing into town on the heels of an Indian who was yelling like a demon and running as for his life. John Turner plying the whip in a lively fashion, and four very hot and tired horses galloping at their utmost speed.
The presumably baffled townspeople stared as the unlikely racers charged through the town.
The finish was a close one, but the Woolstequick man was ahead.
Peter Lawler was surrounded by a group of friendly admirers as he caught his breath enough to speak. He called out the stagecoach driver and flatly declared that he got there first.
Turner's answer was not recorded.
That was Backyard History with your host, Andrew McLean. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned for another hidden story that happened in your own backyard. Produced by Jordan Lozier.